Lay. What's up? Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the sun? Just remember when you come up.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast. We are back to preview a not so full field event at the Wells Fargo Championship. 70 golfers, no cut, all that kind of fun stuff there. There is an alt event at Myrtle Beach if you're feeling frisky, but we'll get you covered here for the Wells Fargo Championship. You can find me on Twitter at BDentrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS, and my co-host, as always, on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. It's good to get back on the mic and talk a little golf.
So. For sure. We had quite a bit of a mid-season hiatus there for a number of different reasons. But come back to the Wells Fargo, which is at a wonderful golf course.
Outside of the Heritage, which we already planned on missing basically because you're on vacation, accidentally having to miss the next 2 weeks didn't really bug me with the Zurich and whatever took place in Texas last weekend.
Yeah, so. Whatever that was. Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, missing the Heritage sucks, especially with the Masters recap. We're missing that. Yeah. But, I mean, if you talk about the Masters, it really wasn't that much of a golf tournament because Scottie Scheffler's so good at golf.
Another Scottie Scheffler show.
Yeah. So, otherwise we haven't really missed a whole heck of a lot in the last 3 weeks. Got another major coming up next week. Yeah.
I think it was the next week or the week after.
It's fall.
Oh, PGA is next week. Jeez. Yeah. For some reason that was another 2 weeks, but so we get the no cut and then we get the Taylor Gooch PGA Championship.
Yep. Okay. Michael Block will be there as well.
I just want to say, who's going to be worse coverage, Block or Taylor Gooch on there?
Yeah. Word on the street is they got Tiger, Gooch, and Michael Block probably going to be like the feature group.
That would be
electric. Because it's like your three biggest names, you know.
Yeah. That would be so good. If they put Tiger in there with Blocky, that would be awesome. And the weird part is the head-to-heads might be close to even. Between the two.
Yeah, very well could be.
And that could get interesting there. But yeah, Masters was a Scotty runaway. Rory finally got to the podium thanks to his partner Lowry at Zurich. And then last week, Taylor Pendrith got the dub. That was great. I had him in two or three DFS lineups actually. Did you watch that 18th hole though by chance?
I just saw the chip shot from whoever was leading.
Cole.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was Cole's.
There you go.
I was legit sitting right here where we are. I had it on TV. I was typing up some stuff for baseball, and I froze when I saw that chip. My gut fell out for him because he took the lead with a great birdie on a tough 17, and then just gone. That's all I can say.
It's rough. Yeah.
But Pendrith's first win. Coles tries again. They got both of them into this week, though, so they're going to make some money, which is good. But any other thoughts on Texas? Because it was a bad-looking golf course. They need to put professionals at a professional golf course. That's all I have to say. That was bad.
Yeah, I didn't watch any of it, so I have zero takes on it.
Yep. All right. Let's talk Wells Fargo then. It's a fun one. Usually it's a full-field event. It's a powerhouse of event. The PGA Championship has been played here at Quail Hollow before. What do you have for some past event history? Because there's some people in this field that really love this golf course.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Quail Hollow is one of the best non-major venues on tour. So really excited for this week. They haven't played this event at Quail Hollow every year for the last few, but last year they did play it. Wyndham Clark won 19 under, 4 shots over Xander Schauffele. 2022 was played in Maryland at Potomac. Max Homa won there 8 under, 2 shots over Keegan Fitzpatrick and Cam Young. 2021 was at Quail Hollow. Rory won his third time, 10 under, 1 shot over Abe Anser. Max Homa actually won in 2019. 2020 didn't have a tournament because of COVID. 2019, Max Homa 15 under, 3 shots over Joel Dahman. 2018 was Jason Day, 12 under, 2 shots over Nick Watney and Aaron Wise. 2017 was at Eagle Point in Wilmington, North Carolina, but Brian Harman won that tournament. 2016 was James Hahn. Like I said, Rory's won this three times. JB Holmes, past champion. Ricky Fowler, past champion. And Lucas Glover, past champion. That's pretty much the gist of it there.
Yeah, the reason it was Potomac that one year Max won was because of the PGA Championship being at this course. And I believe 17, when Harmon won at a different course, they were renovating this course because it was getting too easy. And that's where we stand today, as a very challenging golf course. It is a par 71, 7,560 yards. There's only like two or three courses longer than that on tour that are par 71s right now. So you really need to take advantage of the par 5s. The members play it at a 72 because there's a par 5 for the members that's now a 500-yard par 4, which is fun. That changes things up a bit. The par 3s are very like long iron tests out there. Like a lot of these North Carolina courses, or Carolina courses, you can say. It's tighter fairways. They average like 33 to 34 feet wide, which are yards wide, I should say. Not feet, yards wide. But they're tree-lined. The rough usually isn't super penal, but at the same time, you can't be going crazy because of the trees. A lot of dog legs involved here. So you can't just, like, bombers do have an advantage here. Definitely have an advantage here. At the same time, if the bombers just spraying it all over the golf course, it isn't where you want to be as well. There's water on seven holes. There's a ton of, like, over 60 bunkers on this golf course. You got the Bermuda with a little bit of overseed on the greens at this golf course. If you don't take advantage of the par fives, you're probably not going to win here, because the rest of the place is you just pray to survive. Now with the no cut event, we'll see. Things can get a little wild. We'll see how that plays out. Might be a little different strategy for some of these guys just to go YOLO. You never know. But there's also the finishing holes, the green mile, that will eat your lunch if you are off by any means necessary. So keep that in mind. If you think you're sitting pretty heading to the back nine, buckle up is what they'll say. It's a very challenging golf course, but rewards very good golf, which is kind of something we all want to see. And that's what this course does in a big, big way. So what kind of stats are you looking at this week, Jesse?
Yeah, I mean, you know, with this golf course, it's more of a, I mean, the scores, like the winning scores, 19 under somehow, Wyndham Clark got there last year, but then you got 10 under. I mean, you're kind of like middle of the, like mid teens on a winning score. So typically, you know, especially for cut makers, you know, it's just bogey avoidance. Like you said, driving distance does matter because it's a long, long golf course. This has one of the best finishing. This is not a stat, but it's got one of the best finishing set of finishing holes. I think it's called the Green Mile, 16, 17, 18. Really tough way to finish. So, you know, obviously avoiding the water matters. But, I mean, you know, it's just about ball striking, if you want to look at that. I wait on my model, par three scoring, par five scoring, tee to green, of course, typically matters. And there's plenty of course history to look at as well. So if all that makes sense, I don't know if it does or not. This is a tough test. I know that the scores typically get in the mid teens, but it's possible that you could have an over. I'm not really sure. Do you have like the cut history?
I feel like it's over par. If you give me one second, I can get it for you. It's usually over par, if not close to even.
Right.
Obviously, we got the no cut this year, but I got it.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't matter. I forgot. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a no cut. Yeah. It's a 70 golfers.
No apologize. Cut. This is year two of it being no cut as well. I think it's been until 2023, it had a cut. So, yeah. So this is an elevated no cut event. My apologies. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. That's why I think some guys might see some guys go YOLO at times and get the scoring even more entertaining too.
Yeah, and because there are some scoring holes. I mean, there's one, I can't remember, it's a par four, but it's drivable with like a three wood for these guys down the hill. Par fives are generally not too bad. There's a couple pretty long ones, but with the 19 under last year, maybe that had something to do with being more aggressive with Wyndham there. Because he didn't have to worry about a cut.
Yep. I'm thinking the risk reward holes. The risk might be much more intriguing now, like for the reward type stuff. So, see where that one goes, and see how it plays out. But let's have some fun. Let's talk DK this week. And there's some big boys here, as you'd expect, with some of the best in the world being a no cut event. Scottie Scheffler is not here, so everybody's excited to play golf this week. You have four golfers priced 10K and above. Rory is up to $11,800, which is wild to me. Xander is 11.5, Wyndham's at 10.5, and Ludwig is 10.3. How are you approaching this top area?
Yeah, I mean, it's just so hard to pay that much for Rory. Obviously, three-time champion at this event, at this course. So he's had some really good course history, but I mean, coming in 33rd at the Heritage, 22nd at the Masters, finished third at the Texas Open. Congrats, I guess. I mean, it, you know, he's not missing cuts, and obviously, again, no cut this week. But I mean, what leads me to believe that Rory is 11,800 and is going to win? Because he's got to win at that price. So, I mean, he's like the only guy I don't have checked off up here. I think, and this is not a hot take. I mean, I like Oberg quite a bit. You know, 10th Heritage, 2nd at the Masters, 14th at the Texas Open, 8th at the Players Championship. So, I mean, four straight top 15s, basically, with three of those, three out of the four inside the top 10. So, yeah, I mean, that's who I'd be leaning on. I mean, I wouldn't talk anybody off of playing anybody up here just like usual, but I just don't. And this may be the week that Rory shows us why, you know, but I just don't have any love for Rory myself.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, if somehow come Wednesday afternoon, everyone's got no love for Rory.
Maybe I'll
double take at it.
Play a little ownership angle on it.
Yeah, but I'm with you. I saw the price. I'm like, whoa. Like, literally, sir. Okay, he won the Zurich. Congratulations. You won a team event that sucked with Lowry as your partner. Congratulations. But, like, even here, 47th here last year, 5th, 1st, 8th, 16th, only one of those 5 years he pays off this price tag. That's asking a lot. Like Jesse said, he's got to win to make this work. Like, I'd rather take a gamble. I know it's 300 less, and you know, Xander kind of needs to win too. He finished 2nd here last year. When I just look at his profile over the last 24 rounds, the dude's 3rd in DK scoring. He loves no cut events. He's 2nd in bogey avoidance, which is things we want to see here as well. So he'd kind of be intriguing because I think he gets overlooked too, because most are going to pay for either Wyndham Clark, rightfully so. Dude's a monster. Like, outside of Scottie Scheffler, is probably playing the best golf right now, especially in big time events. No denying that. And then Ludwig it's his first time here, but he's number one in my model. Like you said, you liked him a lot. He's 2nd in the par fours, 450 to 500. He's 3rd in bogey avoidance, 4th in DK scoring, 5th in driving distance, 2nd in tee to green. You just name it, he's great. We talk about how straight he is with the driver, and he hits it far. That plays perfectly here, obviously. Like, these are all things that line up to his game very, very well. So I think Ludwig is the dude here. I think a lot of us are going to say Ludwig is the dude here, and that's where Wyndham becomes more interesting. And if you want to get even weirder, I think Xander is a fun one. I don't like Xander's price, but just based on his field, based on his recent form, which has been very strong in big-time events, and how he's played here, Xander is in play. But it goes Ludwig and Wyndham for me, 1-2. 9K range, you got Cantlay, Fleetwood, Homa, Morikawa, Hovland, Thigala. And that'll wrap it up. Nice small 9K range. Who you like here?
Yeah, I mean, start with Fleetwood at 95. I'm not a huge fan of this price, but, you know, 5th here last year, 14th in 2021. So two straight good finishes at this event. Obviously played well at the Masters, finished 3rd. The next week finished 49th at the Heritage, which is a completely different type of golf course. So, yeah, I think Fleetwood's fine. Morikawa is very interesting to me. He's missed the cut here in his one start. Well, two starts, I guess. They have him down for a missed cut last year. Did they have a cut at this event last year?
They had a cut last year. It's the first year it's no cut.
Yeah, that's it. Because the purse was the same. It was $20 million purse. It was an elevated event. But I guess, I can't keep up with the changes on golf.
They keep changing them, man.
No, even though it's what I'm paid to do, even though – this is an unpaid position.
Yeah, we don't get paid.
The reason for calling, man, I mean, two straight top 10s, 3rd at the Masters, 9th at the Heritage, seems to be figuring some stuff out too. You know, I mean, when he gets his ball striking going and can putt decent, he's world-class. And then 9,100, Thigala, 56 here last year, 2nd his last start at the Heritage, made the cut at the Masters, hasn't missed a cut since the Sony Open, so been playing pretty solid golf. For Sahith, not a huge fan of this range, to be honest with you, but that's where I'd be leaning, you know, if I were to pick any of these guys.
Yeah, I'm with you as well. I didn't go too crazy in this range. I do like Fleetwood, and the price has to be correlated with his history here. That's just something that makes sense. like you mentioned, 5th and 14th. It's really not much else. The 49th at the Heritage, 3rd at the Masters, 7th at Valero. We know Tommy can do Tommy things. He'll have that one big round when he's like 40th place heading into Sunday or something. He'll shoot 9 under par and make you think he had a great tournament again. But at 9,500, I guess, if you want, but the price is tough. I think a lot of people are like Max. I like Max as well. It's just, you know, if you want to trust a model, and my models are not perfect by any means, Fleetwood's 56th and Home was 50th in my models. So it's more of a gut feel on how these guys are playing more than anything, because like somehow Vic Hovland's 8th in my model and Vic Hovland's not the 8th best player right now in this event. So Homa and Fleetwood are the main two guys for me in here. I figure I'll start with, you know, a Ludwig or a Wyndham. I'll probably skip the 9K range and probably won't be alone in that regard, but it's Homa or Fleetwood for me if I take anybody here. 8K range, you got Matsuyama, Cam Young, Fitzpatrick, Siwoo Kim, JT, Jordan Spieth, Russell Henley, Alex Noren coming off a big week last week. Benny On has a big week last week as well. And then you got Finau and Brian Harman. So who do you like in the 8K range?
Start with Fitzpatrick, man, 8,700. 35th here last year. Has had some really good – has played really well since he figured out that he had a fucking weight in his driver. I anticipate that to continue on. You know, he had a decent show at the Masters, 10th at Texas Open, 5th at the Players. JT at 8,500, you know, past champion here in 2017, which was at Eagle Point. 2017 was the, I don't know, it was in August of 2017 they had a, was that the PGA Championship?
It had to have been in August.
Right. Didn't they have the PGA Championship here in 2017? And then 2022, they didn't have it because of the President's Cup.
There you go.
I think.
Might be right there.
Could be right.
Because JT won the PGA Championship at Quail Hollow.
Yeah, which I think was in 2017.
You are correct.
And that was in August of 2017. I'm assuming that's what that was from. So otherwise, you know, last year finished 14th, 26th in 2021, 21st in 2018. So he's got some pretty good finishes here. Fifth place his last start at the Heritage after missing the cut at the Masters. I mean, it's been a really, really up and down last really 2 years, year and a half for Justin Thomas. But I think at 8,500, we're getting down to a price where it's definitely worth taking a risk, especially in a no-cut event. Noren, 8,200. Like you said, he had a good week last week, finished third. Dude's just been churning out top 20s. Since the Cognizant Classic, a lot of these are kind of, you know, obviously smaller events, but still at the same time, like he's pretty much just top 20 machine. So at 8,200 worth a shot, been on, like you said, again, had a good showing, finished fourth last week, made the cut or finished 67th at the Heritage, which was not great, but made the cut at the Masters 16th. His course history is not great. Missed cut, 65th, 63rd, 28th. So, I mean, not really good finishes at Quail Hollow, but I do feel like this is a different been on than we've seen in the past. So last but not least, Tony Finau. I mean, when you talk about length, ball striking, not a putting event, you know, I think Tony can compete. He did finish 12th at the Heritage's last time out and also finished second at the Houston Open the week before the Masters, or 2 weeks before the Masters, and then played the Masters and made the cut and played like shit on Sunday. So,
yep. Tony Finau experience. Very interesting range here. Like Hideki's third in my model, and the stats you're looking at obviously rates out well for third in my model. But then you look at, you know, course history, hasn't played here since 2019. He's been 31st and 76. Okay. But then 38th of the Masters, 7th of Valero, what's playing well. So if you want to go on someone that'll be super low owned, I think Hideki's very interesting. Just like he's first around the green, he's first tee to green in this field of last 24 rounds, fourth in bogey avoidance, plays the par four is great. DK score, no one's going to play him, it feels like. So Matsuyama could be a very, very intriguing one at $8,900. I like Fitz is 87 for the same things you mentioned. He's starting to figure it out once he, you know, like you said, fixed his golf club, God forbid. So, yeah, he's got that going for him. Siwoo is interesting to me. He's 15th in my model, and it's one of those where you look at the tournament, 43rd and 37th. Okay, if he was 76, that would be cool, but 86. 13th last week at the Byron Nelson, 18th at the Heritage, 30th at the Masters, 17th at Houston. That's three top 20s in the last four events. Siwoo's a guy we know that can get hot, can also blow up. So I think Siwoo's a really good tournament play at $8,600 here at Quail. And then I love the JT call. He's 14th in my model course history, and especially no cuts. I love JT's no cuts events. So that's a good spot. Noren and Benny on as well, 82 and 81, just playing great golf. Noren's 18th in my model. He's first in bogey avoidance in this entire field, which is great to see. He's fourth around the green, seventh tee to green in this field. And then Benny on's 10th in my model. And he's, weirdly enough, over the last 24 rounds in this field, Benny on is first in driving distance. Might be the courses he's playing compared to some other people, throwing that out there. But that was a stat that stood out, like, not all stats might be created equal on this one. But the last guy, Brian Harman at 8,000, intrigues me a little bit. You look at recent history here, missed cut by the 9th, 18th, 24th, and the three prior events, $8,000. And he's coming in with a 12th at the Heritage, missed cut at the Masters, 25th at Valero. He could be a nice tournament look as well. So fun little 8K range. I have a feeling JT will be popular, but there's plenty of pivots in here as well. 7K range. We'll just do it all together here. You got Sungjae, Willie Z, Connors, Jason Day, Adam Scott, Sam Burns, Lowry, Seabez, Ashke, Jägerbombs, Pendrith, English, Straka, McCarthy, Horschel, Hoagie, Shank, Kirk, Kim, Poston. Who do you like here?
Start with Connors at 78, eighth place finish here last year, 43rd, 42nd, two previous starts. So not terrible. Made a bunch of cuts in a row. Hasn't missed one since I don't know when. It hasn't missed one all year for sure. And then, you know, his finishes are okay, but at 7,800, definitely worth, you know, taking a shot. 7,700, Adam Scott, fifth here last year. Came off a 30th place finish last week, made the cut to Masters, fit 14th at the Texas Open. Jaeger at 7,500, 27th here last year after two consecutive miscuts, and he's now churned out two straight top 25s after missing after winning the Houston Open, then missing the Masters cut. Akshay, I think he's definitely playable. Obviously had that win at the Texas Open, and then back that up with a made cut at the Masters and then 18th at the Heritage. So he's been playing really solid golf. Harris English has never missed a cut here. Finished third here last year at this event and two straight top 30s for him. Taylor Pendrith obviously won last week. And that was after a miscut, a 36th miscut, 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 miscut. I mean, like, I saw so many people on Twitter who, like, were talking about him and them having tickets on him. I don't know if it was just because he was 100-1. But or they just bet him every week. I don't understand how people got there. Maybe you can explain it better to me, but like nothing about what he did before in the last 2 months tells me that he was going to win the Byron Nelson. I mean, I don't know. Anyways, Tom Hoagie, 7,200. If you look at Tom, like just from a DK scoring perspective, it has been since the Sony Open where he missed the cut that he has not outscored his salary expectation. And that's just, you know, it's a lot of different golf courses and it's not just like by a little bit, the Houston Open was barely over, but, he's getting 15 to 20 points pretty much on average over his expectation based on his salary. His course history here is not great, but I'm just leaning on him. Chris Kirk, he made the cut here last year, 56th, not great finishes at this event, but two straight top 10s or two straight top 20s, Heritage 10th, Masters 16th. So last but not least, Adam Shank. Course history is not great. He finished 13th here in 2019, which was his best finish because he missed the cut every other time he's ever played here. But no cut this week. Don't worry about that. 13th last week. The model seems to like him quite a bit. So, yeah, that's where I'm at.
Yeah, fun range here. Sungjae. I'm going to go back to Sungjae after he burned us all with a late withdrawal due to illness on Thursday. $7,900, 40th in the model. He went to Korea and won, which was part of the reason why he's still sick when he came back. But 12th at the Heritage, missed cut at the Masters. We know the ups and downs. We've talked about it many times with Sungjae M. And a guy that's actually played pretty decent around here. Eighth here last year, missed cut in 21, 31st in 19. So I think going back to Sungjae at 79 is very, very much in play on this one. Corey Connors at 78 is another guy if you want to talk about just tournament history. Eighth place, 21st, 43rd, 42nd, so four straight. Pretty successful trips here Two Quail is another one. Adam Scott might be the under-owned guy here. He's 16th in my model. He's 12th off the tee. He's 5th in 175 to 200. He's just kind of average everywhere else. But you look at Adam Scott here, 5th here last year, 78th in 2018. That was the last time he played prior to that. But the 5th here last year stood out. He had 30th at the Byron Nelson, 22nd at the Masters, 14th at Valero. He's $7,700. I don't know if he's got enough to give you the GPP juice, but could be a fun ownership play. Seabez is a guy I'll go back to at 76. Ash K at 75. He's 7th in my model. He's 5th on approach, 5th on the par fours. Scores like a machine, 7th in DK scoring. So I like him on this one. Jaeger bombs, going right back to Jaeger. We're talking about a guy that can drive it a mile, playing great golf. He's 6th in my model. Was playing really well last week too. Finished 20th. He kind of fell off on Sunday. 18th at the Heritage, missed cut, and then won the Houston Open, obviously. So there's a lot to like there for me with Jaeger, especially the last two times here, 27th and 6th. So plays the course well. Also, see, Pendrith I would have liked, and this is why I had him in two lineups last week. He was cheap, and last week I liked him a lot because you can bomb it all you want, and the rough wasn't penal. So it actually plays into Pendrith's game quite well. As long as he can bring his iron out after he bombs the ball, he can compete in a lot of places, and that's what pretty much played out last week. Didn't think he'd win, but I liked his. He was like $7,400 on DK. It was awesome. He's intriguing to me this week at 74 again because there's no cut. So if he struggles like one day, he could still go low a couple other days. And off the win thing, we'll see how the ownership plays out. But Pendrith kind of is interesting to me, I'll be honest. I think there's a lot to like there. English has the course history. So does Denny McCarthy. He's played well here in the past. I love the Hoagie call. Obviously, I'm a Hollywood Hoagie fan. We've talked about him pretty much every time he's on the show. First in approach, second in opportunities gained. There's your DK scoring for you. He's good at bogey avoidance. Lots to like there with Hoagie. Shank at 71. He's 7th off the tee in this field, and he played really well last week. He was 13th last week. He was 12th at the Masters, 5th at the Valero. So I don't mind a no-cut Shank as well. And then Tom Kim at 7K. Like, how the mighty has fallen, but at 7K, I'm kind of interested here. 23rd here last year for Kim. And if you go even deeper, like 52nd at the Byron Nelson's obviously not good. 18th at the Heritage, 30th at the Masters. He's 7K. Like, I'm cool taking a chance on Tom Kim if anybody else does as well. 6K, who do you like down here?
Taylor Moore at 67. 27th here last year, and similar to Hoagie, but not as great. He's consistently outscoring his DK price. He hasn't missed a cut all year long. Obviously, no cut again. But Lucas Glover, past champion here, I believe. I said that. Yes, 2011. Long time ago. But he's coming in some decent form. Made the cut at the Masters, finished 33rd the next week at the Heritage. At the Masters, he finished 20th. So, I mean, those are two. Obviously, a major and elevated event. So I think he's worth a look. Justin Rose, the form coming in, not great, 44th and then three straight missed cuts before that. But like the last four times he's played this golf course, it's been third missed cut, third, fifth. And that missed cut was at the PGA Championship in 2017. So the course history is there if you want to play that angle. Brendan Todd at 6,700, eighth here last year, 18th in his 2019 start. Three straight made cuts, finished fifth at the Texas Open a month or so ago. And then last for me is Griot. Three straight made cuts here, 23rd, 14th, 9th in his last three starts at this event. Made the cut. Well, there was no cut to Heritage, finished 64th. Missed cut, Masters, 54th players. I mean, it's not great coming in, but we're at 6,300 down here. So, I mean, what do you expect?
Yep. For me, I got Keegs at $6,900. I seem to be in love with Keegs every week. I think he's too cheap, which has been good and bad for me. But the course history, especially the last 3 years, 35th, 2nd, 18th, that'll all play out at $6,900 just fine. He's coming in that 55th at the Heritage, 22nd at the Masters. I'm cool with Keegan at $6,900, 30th in my model. Ricky Fowler is $6,900 as well. And this one has been bothering me just looking at it. Like 14th, 21st, missed cut, 4th, 21st. That's his last five tournaments here. You take all those out, and he's obviously not missing the cut this year. You take all of those at $1,600 very happily. At the Heritage, finished 18th, 30th at the Masters. Maybe he's figuring it out, going to a course he likes. I think Ricky Fowler at 69 is a guy I can get behind here. Taylor Moore at 67, I like him as well. 27th and 64 here the last 2 years, and he's coming in with some decent form. 20th at the Masters, second at the Houston Open. So Moore is another one for me. You mentioned Brendan Todd. I like that. Jake Knapp at $6,500. Similar, like the no cut angle, I think helps here because he likes to bombs away. If it's off, it's ugly. We've seen that from Jake Knapp. It's pretty evident. It's like some of his finishes. Eighth last week at the Byron Nelson, 62nd at the Heritage, 55th at the Masters, miscut at Houston. But we've seen him also go super low and go crazy. So he's kind of intriguing to me at $6,500 in a tournament just for the DK scoring appeal that Jake Knapp can bring to the table if he gets hot. Like he's, you know, 15th in driving distance, 7th in opportunities game. His iron plays pretty good. Also 65th in bogey avoidance in this field. So it's a boomer bust tournament look. I have Griot start off with you as well. Nick Taylor at 62 is another one. He didn't play here last year, but then 15th, 26th, 54th the previous 3 years, 49th at the Heritage, miscut at the Masters. So Nick Taylor is one I look at. And that's probably about it for me. Like Ben Coles is the minimum 6K, nearly won his first golf tournament last week. I'm really curious to see how he comes out here. He's 59th in 2022 here. So he has played this course before. He was like second last week, miscut at Punta Cana, 78th at the Valero. I don't think I need to go there, but I'm curious to see how that plays out at $6,000. All right, let's recap things. Jesse, 10K and above, who you got?
I'm going to say Ober.
I'll go Clark, but those are the dudes. 9K range.
Thigala.
I'll go with Max Homa. 8K.
Fitzpatrick.
There's a lot to like in this range. I'll go Justin Thomas, but it's probably going to be a very popular play. So just whatever I said earlier about being different, remember that. 7K range, pick two.
I'll say Adam Scott and Tom Hoagie.
I'll go Jaeger Bombs for sure. That's my favorite in this range. And give me Adam Schenck. 6K range.
Taylor Moore.
I'm going to go with Ricky Fowler. And that just really has never been said on the show, I think. So that's good.
It's been a long time. Yeah.
Yeah. Been a long time, but he's also $1,600. It looks like he might be figuring it out. We'll see. We'll see on this one. All right. We don't play cash on no cut events, but we do play GPPs, Jesse. So how would you start out a GPP lineup?
Yeah. Like, Ober, Fitzpatrick, and then, Hollywood Hoagie.
Yeah. I like that. I'll go with Ludwig. I'll go with Jaeger Bombs, and I'll go with Ricky Fowler. And there's a lot of stuff you can do in between there. All right, picks to win this week. We got Rory McIlroy at 6.5 to 1. Xander down to 9 to 1. Wyndham at 16. Right out the gate, I'm just like, where's Ludwig? Am I blind? Oh my god, where the heck is? Is he not?
He's not listed.
I was like. Where'd he go? Yeah, I don't not seeing him listed. That's wild.
Yeah, he's not on the board.
What the hell?
Did he withdraw?
I'm gonna search right now. Who do you got on your card this week?
So two bets that I already made were just top 20 bets, Hoagie and Akshay as top 20 bets there. So, I mean, the top 20 market's not as great as it usually is because there's no cut and there's only, you know, limited amount of golfers here. But, you know, as far as maybe a shot to win, Fitzpatrick at 35, I think, has got some
viability. Ludwig, there. Ludwig withdrew with a knee injury.
Oh, perfect. So,
like, literally right when we hit play, I just looked at 40 minutes ago. So he has withdrawn.
Oh, God. Well, that sucks. So instead of Ludwig at 10 in 10K, I would go Xander. I think Wyndham's fine, though, too. But
Wyndham's going to be chalky now, especially with Ludwig out.
Yeah.
So. Damn.
And their odds suck on DraftKings.
Yeah, so horrible.
Yep. Fitzpatrick, 35. I don't mind like an Adam Scott top 10 at plus 360. Ricky, your boy, is plus 400 to top 10. Yeah, I mean, this is tough because, I mean, Tom Kim at 70, that's got a little bit of value there. I mean, I feel like, I know he's not playing great, but, yeah, and then you kind of really go into no man's land here after that. So that's kind of where I'm at. Fitzpatrick, maybe Tom Kim. I don't know if I'll actually bet that. Adam Scott, top 10, I will bet, though.
Yeah. I think Kim at plus 210 to top 20. I like that. I think that's one you could look at. Tom Hoagie, plus 190 to top 20. You know how we do on this show. That's usually a bet. So just have fun with that one. Ricky's plus 170. So you can get at least a decent number there. Other than that, there's not a ton I'm in love with. Like, I wish, like, Noren's plus 120 to top 20. That is not saying it's wrong. That's just crazy to see on paper. But yeah, it's a tough week. 70 man field. Next week will be a ton of fun with the PGA Championship, though. You can get wild out there. So, final thoughts this week, Jesse. 70 golfers. Well, now it's 69 golfers. No cut. Ludwig's gone. God, that sucks.
Yeah, but it sucks bad.
What are we thinking this week?
Yeah, I mean, it's worth watching just because of the golf course. This I've been to this golf course. I've been to Augusta. I think this is the closest thing I've ever been to Augusta, especially tournament week. Obviously, I don't know what it's like not tournament week, but when they're both in prime shape, this is close at the Wells Fargo here in Quail Hollow. So. Yeah, it's going to be fun to watch it. At least we got, some big names playing and that kind of thing. But definitely looking forward to the PGA Championship.
Yep, this is a good tune-up for it. Again, there's the Myrtle Beach, which is basically an elevated Corn Ferry event. That's what that comes down to if you're feeling it there. If DK ever put out good tournaments for those events, I'd play it more. But they always put out garbage ones, so it kind of sucks. But we'll be playing this week on the Wells Fargo. We'll be back with you guys next week to preview the PGA Championship, the second major of the year. If you have any questions, make sure you hit up Jesse on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods, the podcast at Always Press DFS. I'm at BD Intrick, and until next time, this is your Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast, previewing the 2024 Wells Fargo Championship. Catch y'all later.